This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
The Mets are playing a doubleheader today at Citi Field against the Brewers. It's like a slow death. They had a 2-1 lead that quickly evaporated when Carlos Mendoza took Clay Holmes out with a runner on in the sixth inning. His pitch count sitting at 90, and he went to the once reliable Reed Garrett, who decided to blow the whole game up, including giving up a grand slam to Joey Ortiz. So the Mets may well be on their way to another horrific loss as they trail the Brewers 6-2. We'll keep you posted. My first reaction watching it with you was that I probably would have pushed Clay Holmes a little bit more, mainly because he had the extra day of rest, mainly because this bullpen has been so unreliable and they ask so much out of the bullpen.
Yes.
And Carlos Mendoza decided not to do that. He decided to trust Reed Garrett with a one-run lead and a runner on and one out. And instead, Reed Garrett not only blew the lead, but he lit the game on fire. Mm-hmm. And that's the state of the Mets right now. Their season is literally being lit on fire in front of us.
Yeah, it is. And the unfortunate thing, Evan, is that these games, they're not even in close position to potentially salvage it in the eighth or ninth inning. They're getting blown out. Like the last sweep that they had, they got destroyed. 30-4?
30-4 was the worst sweep in the history of the New York Mets.
It was disgusting. And now this one, it's in the bottom of the sixth inning right now. It's 6-2.
Yeah, this is an offense that hasn't done much. So when they scored the two runs that they've scored, it felt like, oh, that's big.
Yeah.
Now they need to score four more to tie this game, plus have the bullpen hold it.
And it doesn't seem doable. That's the problem.
It does not. And it really is setting up, and we'll spend some more time on this later, it is setting up one of the most depressing Subway Series of all time. Because the Yankees are not playing well. More on them later.
At least they're still in first place, though.
They are. Look, the Yankees...
Unless they get swept today, then they'll be tied for first place.
It could go away soon.
Right.
The Yankees are playing like a mediocre baseball team. The Mets are playing like a bad baseball team.
Right.
And that's, I think, the difference watching these two teams every single night.
Yeah, the Yankees are 500. In the last 10 games, they're 500. They've lost two in a row, obviously, but they're playing 500 baseball.
But they're playing like a mediocre team. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. Like, it's not good. They're playing like a mediocre, baddish baseball team.
Yes.
The Mets are playing like the worst team in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a difference between the badness.
Right. Well, it's what you said earlier in this year. We were talking about this is when both teams were good. You're going to go through a bad stretch. But make it 500.
Right. Limit the badness of it.
Make it mediocre. Make it what the Yankees are doing. Don't make it, you know, 3 out of 10 or 20% or whatever the heck it's been for the Mets over the last 2 weeks.
A couple of things about the Eastern Conference over the last few days. NBA free agency has been wildly entertaining, especially considering it wasn't loaded with a lot of great free agents. And I'll give you my honest take on the Eastern Conference, the teams around the New York Knicks. I think the Orlando Magic have made a significant jump by trading for Desmond Bane and signing Tyus Jones. I think those are two good moves. But I think Orlando taking the leap themselves is going to really be reliant on internal growth. Paolo Banchero staying healthy and taking another jump as a star player. So I think the Magic have gotten better. Can I sit here and tell you they're better than the New York Knicks right now? No. I think they've closed the gap a little bit, but no. I think the other team that's gotten better in terms of the moves they've made would be the Atlanta Hawks. I think the Hawks have certainly gone out there and improved their roster over the last few days. Kristaps Porzingis, Alexander Walker, Kennard, like, they have a deeper roster. But ultimately, when I look at Atlanta, and I wonder, is Trae Young going to be the superstar on a team that gets to the NBA Finals?
Mm.
Can he be that guy? So I think Atlanta's gotten better, but do I think they're as good as the New York Knicks? Absolutely not. I'm kind of disappointed by the Detroit Pistons. Like, I think this had a chance to be a big offseason for Detroit, a chance to really make that jump this year. And they've already lost Tim Hardaway and Dennis Schroeder, and they added my guy Caris LeVert, who I like and
right.
all. But, and also, you've got the issue with Malik Beasley, where they were planning on bringing him back, and I don't know what the heck happens now.
No, because, I mean, you got, he's innocent until proven guilty, Malik Beasley, but...
But he's not on the team!
Exactly, but I'm just saying, in general, for him, forget about the Pistons, but he was set to probably make some pretty decent money and be an important contributor.
Yeah.
Now, who the hell knows? He's in limbo.
Yeah, they added Duncan Robinson, which is like, all right, I mean, decent piece, but I thought the Pistons were one of those Eastern Conference teams that could make a big jump, and they can still make it if Cade continues to evolve as a superstar. So... And then the Bucks stuff. Like,
right.
they add Miles Turner, which on the surface really damages the Pacers, but they were going to be damaged anyway because Tyrese Halliburton's not walking through that door.
Yep.
And the Bucks get better, but now you have the uncertainty on if Giannis Antetokounmpo is actually happy. In fact, can you play the Shams thing, Tommy? Here is an update on Giannis Antetokounmpo. This is from Shams Charania on ESPN earlier this morning, giving us all the update on what the heck is happening right now in Milwaukee.
I'm told that Giannis Antetokounmpo will continue to evaluate not just what happened today, but what's happening all offseason in Milwaukee. And he took notice of this move, no doubt, but sources tell me that it's more than just tonight. And at the end of the offseason, my understanding is Giannis Antetokounmpo will ask himself, he'll look himself in the mirror, look around him, and say, can I win a championship with this team as currently constructed? And the answer to that question faces not only him, but the Bucks and Milwaukee. And again, what happens if that answer is no? The only person that knows the answer to that is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
What do you take that report as meaning?
Well, first of all, why the hell is he struggling with Giannis Antetokounmpo's name? It's like the first time he rushed it. The second time, it was like, dude, you just butchered that. Like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? It means that Giannis wants to be on a winner. He doesn't want to wallow around in the last couple of years or whatever it is, 5 years of his career on a team that's constantly trying to find itself. And so could he get frustrated and demand a trade, something that we speculated about 3 weeks ago but hasn't ever happened? It kind of just went away, which made us assume that Giannis wants to still be a Buck. But if they're going to screw around, why? I wouldn't want to be on a team that's not trying to win or doesn't put them in position to be a winner. If you're a star. No star in the NBA wants to just say, I'm good. I got my ring. I got my MVPs. I'm just going to collect paychecks for the next 5 years. No star ever wants to do that.
No, I get all that. Here's what bothers me. And I know the Nets took a lot of crap for this when it was, oh, they just listened to their superstars.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you listen to your superstar?
100%.
Like, if you want Giannis,
you should at least ask.
Well, yeah. So this shouldn't be a mystery.
Yes.
This shouldn't be a, all right, we're going to try to make moves to impress him. How about you pick up the phone and you talk to him? And say,
which shouldn't be hard.
And by the way, here's a simple thing, because I always heard this about the Nets, and I'm not sure if it was ever true, that after Kyrie Irving demanded the trade and he got traded, they had that 72-hour period where KD was still on the Nets. I had heard that the Nets were looking around the league to keep KD happy. And one of the things they were going to try to do was to trade with Toronto to get Pascal Siakam. And I guess Durant would have been happy if they did that.
Right.
And the Nets called up Toronto, who was not traded at that moment, probably looked at what it was going to cost, if it was even feasible, and probably made the determination, is this good for our franchise? And once the Nets determined it's going to cost us too much, it's not worth it, let's just blow the whole thing up,
right.
at least they were able to make the decision to blow the whole thing up. So if you're Milwaukee and you want to keep Giannis, you speak to him and say, what makes you happy? If you're not comfortable with what makes him happy, then trade him.
Yes.
If you're like, oh, cool, we'll do that. We right. want to keep you happy. We want you on this team for a long time. Then you go out and do it. Like, this game that Shams described seems stupid.
Mm.
Like, we're going to make moves and hope you're happy. We're going to stretch provision Damian Lillard and hope you're happy. And we're going to use that money to sign Miles Turner and hope you're happy. I mean, I like Miles Turner. Do you want Miles Turner as part of a rebuild if you trade Giannis Antetokounmpo? The answer is probably not.
No, I don't think so.
So the whole situation there feels really weird. And if Giannis is waiting until the end of the summer, so what's going to happen on September 1st? He's going to tell the Bucks, okay, I don't like what you did. Trade me. How's that going to work out?
Yeah, that's too late.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's never too late. You can always do it, but it's not ideal. So the whole thing is bizarre. I stand by the fact that I don't think they're ever going to break up, but it continues to be a story, at least as reported by Shams, the way he described that. That, yeah, he's just testing him. Just wants to see how you do. It's like you're with a girlfriend, and the girlfriend's like, I'm going to give you the summer. Impress me. Go out there and impress me.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot of pressure. And you know what I would do, especially if I really like that girl?
Mini golf.
I'd say, what do you want to do?
Ice cream. And then mini golf.
See, you guys are all mistaken. You're just guessing.
Or ice cream and mini golf at the same time.
Or you ask her.
No.
No.
She wants a man with confidence that makes the right decisions and reads minds. Are you new to women, Evan?
Right, exactly.
You're supposed
to know what I want before I even ask.
You are actually
supposed to know what I want before I even know what
right.
I want.
Exactly.
Your guys are 1,000% right, but wouldn't it be easier if you could just ask?
Of course it would be.
So...
That's but then you ask, and then it's, I don't know what I want for dinner. Then you get what dinner is, and then she didn't want it.
Do you think that's what Giannis is doing? Is Giannis your wife?
Whew. I'm not going to go there right now, but, you know, I think potentially, yeah.
Let's go to JR in Somerville. What's up, JR?
What's going on? Hey, if you're the Bucks, you don't even answer the phone if Giannis asks for a trade, especially with the franchise valuations now. If this guy leaves Milwaukee, they're going to lose so much money. When it comes down to that, you know, they need to keep him up there. So that's the first thing. I think that you know, the Turner deal will keep him up there. But my whole thing's about Mike Brown, and I love the deal. I was living in L.A. when he was coaching the Lakers, and the thing about it is that he's very malleable. Kobe put that offense into Mike Brown's system, that Princeton offense. He basically got him fired in the 5 days, and Bill Jackson's the remnants of the triangle also got him there. And then last season, you know, the whole Darren Fox thing got to him when he benched he actually criticized Darren Fox, and he did things that would actually be appreciated in the New York media. So I'm all about it. Basketball wise, you know, this team needs to pass the ball. second to last in the playoffs in hockey assists.
Yeah.
You know, OG and Mikal were under 20% from the corner. That's not going to happen. Early handoffs, using Cat, using the skills, using the two players. Sabonis and Fox were both players that did not play defense. Guess what? He's used to it. And it's something where the Kings actually did play defense. He actually got them to a good point. It's just that that's the worst ownership and front office in the game of basketball. So I like the Mike Brown hire.
And I think one other thing that you didn't include, because I don't think JR cares about it. I don't care about it. Most people in the audience aren't going to care about it. But this was a factor, is that you hear a lot about this in baseball, but it's happening in the NBA. They want him to collaborate with the front office. Hmm. And Tom Thibodeau wasn't doing that. And that was something Stephon Bondy's reported for a few days now about what led to the departure of Tom Thibodeau and what they're looking for in a new head coach.
And so when you say collaborate, what does that even mean?
It means communicate with the front office and let the front office give you ideas and not ignore them shut the door.
So from a X's and O's standpoint or from a participation?
Probably from an everything standpoint, honestly. From how you use your bench to minutes, limits or restrictions to growing young players to... to, I think, a lot of things. And we talk about it a lot in baseball with how MLB front offices and managers work side by side, or the old joke, the manager has no power,
right,
and it's really the front office. But that's going on in all of sports, and I think it's happening a lot in the NBA. I certainly see it on my teams. And you don't think Sean Marks has a big hand in what Jordy's doing? By the way, Jordy worked for Mike Brown, so he got a little connection. New York basketball and New York football has these weird connections.
What is the football connection?
You don't know the football one?
Aaron Glenn?
No. The Jets and Giants connection, yeah.
Current connection.
Absolutely.
No.
You know, well, that's interesting. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sean? The deep
wide receiver
connection.
Coach? Is son of the former head coach?
Dable was on the Jets staff at one point.
Nope, not that. It has nothing to do with Brian Dable. It has nothing to do with Aaron Glenn. It has to do with the fact, similarly to Jordy working for Mike Brown in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
Justin Fields and Russell Wilson were basically competing with each other last year in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you mean the quarterback.
Yeah.
I thought you meant coaching.
No.
You also could have gone, Carlos Mendoza worked under Aaron Boone.
Crap, I forgot about that one. Wow, so we got three of them now. We got a lot of connections. Mendy used to work for Boone.
Right.
Jordy used to work for Brown. And Russell Wilson took a job from Justin Fields. It's like a perfect symmetry.
Just let him borrow it for a couple of weeks while he was recovering from whatever injury ailed him at the beginning.
Well, that's the way it turned out.
That's what it was.
It turned out that way.
Exactly.
That Fields was borrowing the job from Russ. Anthony's in Mineola. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, guys? Long time no speak.
Hey, man. Thanks for calling.
No problem. So I need, not the gentleman that I preceded, but a couple of your calls ago absolutely went away. Haywire, old tips, this, that. Listen, Tom Thibodeau did a lot for us. That's it. Book is closed. Now to Mike Brown. I'm very happy with Mike Brown. Three reasons. Mike Brown can develop a bench. Mike Brown can develop young players. And the most important reason, I don't care who was on his team when he won a championship coaching. He won a championship. We haven't won a championship since before I was born. So, that being said, all Knicks fans need to relax, take a deep breath. Now this chapter is starting, and now we wait until whatever November comes, and then we see what happens. But you got to have faith. This guy has won a championship.
They didn't do something like hire a rookie and say, let's hope he's the next great head coach. And by the way, if they had done that, I could see supporting that.
Right.
Because we've seen a lot of young head coaches come right out of the gate with a lot of pressure and win championships. We've seen it happen before. Nick Nurse didn't have a lot of experience when he got that job. But in this case, they went to a route of a guy who's done it all. And one of the other things you're hearing, and this is also very common when you fire a manager, fire a coach, is you want somebody who does things very differently. Ian Begley did great reporting at the end of the Tom Thibodeau run, talking about how he didn't practice the guys hard.
Yeah.
How they didn't even scrimmage.
Right, and they weren't prepared for some of those moments that we criticize in the playoffs.
Yes.
Like inbounding passes.
Yes.
Or what to do when you have your best player sitting on the bench for 7 minutes and you need to get him back in the game. It wasn't that long, but you know what I mean.
Felt like it.
It felt like forever.
Yeah.
And so they didn't know.
That was his rep last year. He didn't practice the guys hard enough. And guess what Mike Brown's reputation is? To work them very hard.
Mm-hmm.
To practice them very hard.
Right.
So he is, in a lot of ways, a real departure from Tom Thibodeau. And that doesn't mean Tom did a bad job. It just means that Leon Rose made the determination, if we're going to get to that next level, it's got to be different. It's just got to be different. We don't think he was going to get us there. And really, what's got to make y'all so happy is I was told by Tiki Barber, by Sean Morash, not by Tommy, but by everybody else, they got to do it soon. They can't let this drag on too long. So best of all, Teak, July 2nd. Is that soon enough for you?
It is soon enough.
So you're pleased with that date?
Isn't that what I said?
No.
What did I say?
When I first asked you, I said, what's the drop dead date? Your first response was yesterday.
No. What did we pick?
Oh, what did we pick? I'm going to check that out. I have that all written down.
It's happening now, so we have to go back and check our forecast, our predictions.
Yeah, can you pull that one, Sean?
Give me a date and a time.
All right, here we go. June 27th.
June is 6th.
June is 6th.
Yes.
I can read it right now. What's your date? It's probably way before that, but not significantly. Would you say today, June 27th? No, you're close. I'm saying like a week and a half, 10 days. So let's say July. What is it, July 4th on a Friday? Let's say July 6th. July 6th. Okay. That's when you all say what the hell is going on? Fair. So you said July 6th.
There it is.
So he made it.
They made it before my deadline.
They made it before your deadline.
So I'm good.
So you feel better now about the day?
I do.
You feel like they had a plan now?
Well, I don't know if they had a plan. They had a plan of just figuring out who their best coach was, best option at head coach was. And it seems like they exhausted those.
You know what their plan
Even though,
was?
Interestingly, Mike Brown was the only one who got a second interview.
Right.
So they interviewed a lot, or at least wanted to talk to a lot of people. They had one conversation with Mike Brown, said, of all the guys we potentially could have talked to, we need to talk to him again.
I think now that it's over, right, that Mike Brown's the head coach, this is so easy in retrospect. Can I lay out the next game plan and you tell me if it was a good game plan? They meet with the players. They meet with Tom. They realize, ain't the guy.
Right.
We got to move on.
Got to go. Sorry, we love you, but see you.
They fire Tom Thibodeau, and they know right from jump we're hiring an experienced head coach. Mm-hmm. They know right from jump.
We almost had to.
They didn't, but they didn't really have to do anything. They could have hired whoever they wanted. They could have hired Johnny Prine if they wanted.
Yeah, I think the potential of falling apart was real.
Okay.
With a young head coach.
Okay.
They had to hire a veteran.
So they knew upon firing, this is my kind of surmising now their plan, and this is where I think every Knicks fan should apologize to not just the New York Knicks, but to even guys like me who put ourselves out of Tommy too, who put ourselves out on a limb to say, you guys are overreacting, they have a plan. Here's their plan. Tom ain't the guy. We know we've got these good veterans that are sitting on the beach ready to be hired, led by Mike Brown.
Right.
Not that we're going to hire Mike Brown, but we know he's there. We know Taylor Jenkins is there. Mm-hmm. We know Mike Budenholzer's there. But before we go there, since no one else is hiring head coaches, let's shoot our shot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's call around the league. Got nothing to lose.
Right.
And obviously, every owner and every team said, no. You want to hire our coach? No. And James Dolan and Leon Rose probably thought to themselves, especially Leon as a former agent, worst case scenario, I get these guys money. I get these guys extensions.
Right.
Screw those other teams. Fine, you want to say no to me? Okay, it's going to cost you more money. So they reach out to the Dallas Mavericks. They reach out to the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
They reach out to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Maybe they did even reach out to the Chicago Bulls about Billy Donovan. Do all those things. Okay. Shot our shot, didn't get what we wanted. Let's give it a week on kid. Let's see if he can snake his way out of it. Okay, didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to our backup reserves of successful coaches that are literally sitting on the beach waiting for a job. Then they hire who they deem is the best of those sitting on the beach in Mike Brown. Now that I've laid out the plan since it's over, every Knicks fan should apologize because that sounds like a pretty good plan, doesn't it?
Sounds like it's not a plan, though. It's kind of just a... We're going to go through a process.
But
it's different.
What's the difference?
It's not, but it doesn't. My issue at the time is that when you are in the Eastern Conference Finals and you fire your head coach, you got to know who you want. And I think they knew who they want. They just couldn't get them. And so then it became all right, now we got to go through the process. Now, the process is fine, but when it felt like it was in a time constraint, because here we are pushing up into July and they finally get the head coaching hire. It just felt like you're going to go through the draft, you're going to go through free agency, and you're not going to have a head coach. Now, you very eloquently have said this multiple times, Evan, that they don't need to hire the head coach for the process.
Yes.
The free agency and the draft, because the coach isn't going to have a say. It's going to be Leon Rose's job. And so he did his job as best they could with the one pick that they had in the second round. Free agency really didn't impact them that much. And so you look at now, who's the best coach for who we have?
Yeah.
So, look, it worked. and at least we think it worked. We'll find out when Mike Brown actually coaches a game for this team. But it wasn't a, we're firing this guy, and this is who we're hiring.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And I think that most of the New York media and the national media, I think they embarrassed themselves. I really did. Mm. They called them idiots. They called them fools. They have no plan. This is an embarrassment. Typical Knicks. And at the end of the day, they went out and hired a pretty damn good head coach.
I don't call people names.
Well, I'm
didn't call anybody a fool. I just said they didn't have a plan.
They hired a head coach who wasn't their first choice, Evan. I think the media has every right to criticize.
Most of the... They were called idiots.
They hired...
Were the Knicks idiots?
Yes.
The Knicks are idiots.
So...
But, really, we're going to live and die with this now? The Knicks are idiots with no plan? Okay. If that's really what you want to live on, when they went out, had a process, and hired a pretty damn good head coach... Yeah, they had a just laid out the process. Were you listening?
Yeah, Evan, the process is if they really liked Mike Brown, they don't interview those other head coaches. You call it whatever you want. They hired somebody who I think we all think is probably going to be good, but the Knicks truly themselves didn't view this as their number one choice when making a drastic move after making the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's okay to still call the Knicks idiots after
this. Were the Mets idiots? They fired Buck Showalter, and they didn't get their first choice. Are they idiots?
I think the Mets have been...
The Mets interviewed Craig Counsell. Did they not want Craig Counsell?
Yes.
Did not throw their body all over Craig Counsell?
I think the Mets...
The Mets were not in the NLCS.
Yes. Correct. Exactly right.
Oh, so that's what changes the bar?
I think it does change the bar.
Absolutely it does. You have a team that's ready to win.
Yeah, but this is the NBA. This happens a lot.
I guess so.
It happens a lot when you make the Eastern Conference Finals and fire your coach and call a bunch of the teams that already have coaches employed.
No, see, you're getting specific. I think it happens a lot when you fire a head coach, even when your team has had success, because you don't believe that coach is getting you to the next level. Mm. I think that, look, you have every right to die on the sword that the Knicks are a bunch of idiots, but Charles Barkley and some of the other Knick haters really fanned the flames that the circus was back in town, and they were wrong. And same thing locally. It was so wrong. It was over the top. It was, we need to laugh at the Knicks, even though there's nothing to laugh at. And all they did was make a ballsy decision to move on from their head coach because they thought they maxed out with Tom Thibodeau. And they went out and they hired, in my opinion, a pretty good replacement. They're not a joke. It may not work. I'm not guaranteeing you they're going to win a title. But the idea that the Knicks were idiots the way it was portrayed for the last month, I think everybody who said that embarrassed themselves. I think they got egg all over their face.
But can't you both be idiotic and be very fortunate with the end result?
I think
that's what happened.
No, because you didn't listen to a word I said. Mike Brown was always sitting there, as was Mike Budenholzer, as was Taylor Jenkins. So they knew we can shoot our shot with other guys, and if we don't get them, we've got a really good crop, which is something I said 2 weeks ago. You have a great crop of guys sitting there waiting. We knew this. This wasn't new. They're not lucky.
And nobody else was hiring a head coach.
Exactly.
That's all 1,000% accurate, but that doesn't mean you believed in Mike Brown first and foremost, because then you wouldn't even need to shoot your shot.
Most teams don't hire their number one choice. That's just the truth about sports. Mm. So you got egg right over there on your lip. Just clean it off before the cameras go on.
Is this some kind of yolk?
I get it, because there's yolk in an egg. By the way, you know who loves me today?
Who?
Tommy.
I do.
You're welcome, bro.
That's why I'm not even jumping in. That is Marash tries to idiotically defend the national media, whose their favorite pastime is to, because they don't like the owner, and they don't. I don't want to say they don't like Knick fans, but they realize there's a lot of us, and we're wound really tight, so they get clicks and more ratings when they make fun of us. That's the only reason they ever go to that. And you're right; they did their due diligence. There's nothing wrong with
it. It's like talking about the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL.
100%
been insignificant when it comes to the postseason. Every national media wants to talk about the Cowboys.
And listen, when you become newly single, yeah, Susie's dating Phil, and they're going, but you know what? I'm going to ask Susie, how much do you really like Phil? You care to come over here? So even though these coaches are in relationships, there's nothing wrong with asking to see, hey, you never know, maybe Jason Kidd becomes available, maybe Spoelstra becomes available. Oh, they didn't? Now we're going to do our due diligence, we're going to cast a wide net, and we're going to hire a coach that's won Coach of the Year twice in his career and has made the finals. If they had hired an assistant head coach, everybody would say, well, this guy has no experience. And I still would have defended it because that's their vision. And I think Evan pointed out earlier, which I think is what's going on here, is that it's a collaborative thing. I think the Brunsons are involved.
Absolutely.
I think Leon Rose, if you want to say he's the Brian Cashman here. And Mike Brown, his personality, his style fits more. It's not like Tibbs where it's stubborn, he's rigid. He didn't want to bend, he didn't want to break. And that's the reason he was fired. And by the way, most Knick fans thought that going in.
I know.
You know why?
I know.
You know what the thing is here too?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, I love that they beat Boston. Had they lost to the Celtics, we wouldn't have gotten one phone call mourning Tibbs. Not one. Because everybody would have said, another second round exit. They can't break through the second round. Tibbs can't win the big one. They beat the Celtics, and now everything changed there. But did it really? Or does it cloud what we all think of Tibbs anyway, which is he can't get over the hump, especially the way this team is constructed?
Just remember this, and I don't know when this is going to happen, but at some point the Yankees are going to move on from Aaron Boone. And I don't know if that's going to happen soon. Probably not. I don't know if it's going to happen 10 years from now or 5 years from now. But Aaron Boone's going to lose his job because naturally that's what happens, whether you're a coach or a manager. You don't manage or coach forever. And all the people, because it feels like the majority who have called for Aaron Boone's head, he's got to go, he's this, he's that, doesn't hold players accountable unless their name is J.C. Ascara, all that. You like that one?
Yeah.
The day he gets fired, you will hear the vitriol on the decision. How do you get rid of Boone? They did this, they did... I'm telling you, man, it's the way it works. I feel like that's kind of what happened with Tibbs. We were taking so much. Get rid of this guy. They can't win with this guy. As soon as they did it, like a switch.
What are the Knicks doing? They're a bunch of idiots.
We were taking calls on him getting fired during the playoffs.
I know.
The first round, they were talking about asking for his job back.
Would it not have been justified if they had made it out of the first round of the playoffs?
Absolutely, but that just shows you that he was already on thin ice, and I think the organization had already made up their mind going into the playoffs.
We'll get back to your telephone calls, 888-808-1019. The Mets are embarrassing themselves again. We'll get a live report from Citi Field about the destruction going on there and the Yankee situation, including Jazz Chisholm making things a little worse for the Yankees with something he said last night. If you thought that an off day and a rainout would somehow get the Mets going... Well, you were delusional.
You don't know these Mets.
You don't know these crappy Mets. They are three outs away from losing to the Brewers. They trail 7-2, a game that they led 2-1 into the sixth inning, and Clay Holmes pitched into the sixth inning, got an out in the sixth inning. The first time a Mets starter had done that in 12 consecutive games. And then the manager, Carlos Mendoza, after Holmes got a fly out to right field and his pitch count was sitting at 90, he made the decision to take him out. And that turned out to be the decision that really led to this game becoming a disaster because Reed Garrett defecated all over himself, gave up a game-tying extra base hit right out of shoot, gave up another base hit.
That was Holmes's run, right?
That was Holmes's run, right. So it ended 5 1/3, two runs. And then he walks a batter and then gives up a grand slam. And it turned into a 6-2 game. It is now 7-2. The bats have looked completely lifeless after they gave them a 2-1 lead. And the Mets are on the verge of not only losing another game, but losing another game that doesn't feel very competitive. They're down by 5 runs in the ninth inning. They lost the last game they played 12-1. They lost the game before that 9-2, though that was close going into the eighth inning. And they lost the game before that 9-1. So it's about to be a 4-game losing streak. And it's about to feature them giving up 9 runs, 9 runs, 12 runs, and 7 runs.
Wow.
I don't know how you can't be worried. I don't know how, as a Met fan, you can't be pushing the panic button and saying we're living in Panic City all over again.
Yeah, the problem is it's not close baseball. They're just a little bit mediocre right now. It's bad baseball. They can't score runs. Well, they do. When they do score runs, they can't score consistently over 9 innings. They score runs in the first or second or third inning, and then that's it. And then the bullpen comes in and gives up whatever potential good quality start that your starter had, and next thing you know, you're down by 10.
Yeah.
It's got to be frustrating because they feel like one of the worst teams in baseball.
They've played like it.
But they're not.
No, I know. But they have played now for a 3-week stretch like the worst team in baseball. And we made a big deal out about being outscored by the Pittsburgh Pirates in that 3-game series where they were outscored 30-4. Well, tack on this game. It's 37-6 now over the last 4 games. And they got to play again tonight with a pitching matchup that feels as big of a mismatch as one can have. A young stud in Jake Mizorowski, who's looked great so far in his brief major league career, and Blade Tidwell, who doesn't. It feels like a disaster. And Ted in Belrose, New York, is at Citi Field right now. Ted, are you enjoying your Wednesday afternoon at Citi Field?
Evan, up until the moment Mendoza walked out, took the ball from Holmes after the 90th pitch, and I told my partner, I said, we're doomed. We're doomed. And sure enough, 8 pitches is all Reed Garrett had to throw. 8 pitches! And it was beyond a brush fire after that, actually. All I can tell you is this. I don't know who calls the shots on the pitch counts for a starting pitcher, but it didn't look like Holmes was in any major duress. He had an extra 18 hours from the postponement last night. Even though the offense looked absolutely listless, that's all the more reason to keep your starter, who's got pretty much good control after that leadoff home run. He only gave up three hits. I'm telling you, I could manage this team better than it's being managed right now.
I think that most of the time, Ted, I would have sided with Mendy saying, you know what?
Right.
Remember, he's a converted reliever and a starter.
And he had fatigue a week and a half ago or whatever it was after the Colorado trip.
Sure. He had also walked four guys in this game, and I got a fresh bullpen. But the reason why I would differ, and I would agree with that last caller on pushing him, is that wouldn't it help this team, especially in the first game of a doubleheader? You got another game with the Brewers. You got three more with the Yankees. Again, you haven't had a starter pitch through the sixth inning in 11 or 12 straight games. Wouldn't this be the moment where you push him just a tad?
I would.
I would have as well. And look, that doesn't exonerate Reed Garrett, who up until a week ago was one of their best relievers. They went to their best reliever in the sixth inning of a one-run game, and he completely collapsed. So it shouldn't exonerate, as much as I don't like Mendy's decision to pull Clay Holmes, it shouldn't exonerate the fact that Reed Garrett imploded and the Met offense has done nothing.
Right.
Yeah, right now, Reed guarantees you loss. You know what I mean?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I didn't land it. We'll move on.
I like bad. When he acknowledges to move on.
It sounded good coming out of my head. I blew it.
Well, just like going to Reed Garrett kind of feels good in the moment. Because he has been so good this season. So right now, and this isn't even a defense of Carlos Mendoza, it's the reality. When you suck, and the Mets suck, everything and every button you push is going to just fail.
Yeah.
And this is an example of it.
And it feels like there's no one that you can just rely upon to make it happen in spite of the failure that's happening around them. And that's including Juan Soto, who's been relatively good. But Francisco Lindor looks lost at the plate. Is he 0 for 3, 0 for 4 today?
He's 0 for 4.
0 for 4 today.
And he has been horrific during this stretch.
You're right. And so even the guys that you would depend upon are just not producing right now. And again, I said this last week, and I hate to keep going back to it. They look like they need a break.
Well, they just got a break.
I know, but I mean like an extended. It looks like they need a week off.
Yeah, you know who needs a week off?
Don't play baseball for a week and then come back, right? It's like when you're pretty bad at golf. People give you advice. What advice would you give me? Take 2 weeks off and then quit.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. In a 162-game season, you don't have that option.
Of course you don't.
We as Met fans.
It looks like they need a week off.
Well, we need a week off as fans.
Right.
As a Met fan, don't you want time off from watching this garbage? This has been bad for so long, and what is so stunning, and it's like I'm eating my own words from last year, because what was so much fun about last year is how baseball can turn on a dime, yeah. And the season last year turned on a dime.
Of course.
The exact opposite has happened this year. We are living in a bizarro world of a year ago, because sitting there on that Friday night with a big lead against the Tampa Bay Rays, mm-hmm. and on a win streak with a big lead in the NL East, they innocently took Clay Holmes out early because he wasn't feeling great coming out of Colorado, and they blow that game. And who knew blowing that game would turn into this? One of the worst stretches of baseball we've seen in a very long time. And the Yankees aren't playing much better. We'll get to them in a few minutes. Because I think what Jazz Chisholm said yesterday, which I want to read to you, has opened up a huge can of worms around this Yankee team. But let's go to Bill, who's calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Bill?
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. I called in to speak about a comment you made before about Mike Brown and practicing, but if I may say first, our sexy first choice was Jason Kidd. So right now this circus might not be like Barnum and Bailey's. It's more like that local festival feel. You still got like some clowns and some animals, but it's not the full circus. But so I don't know if you saw what Kevin Garnett said, I think yesterday or the other day, the clip about like the Achilles injuries and why there's so many. And he's talking about how people, the players in the NBA, how they practice today, that they're not practicing as much. Mm. So they're having more individual workouts, and they're not really replicating that game feel where they're just getting on the court, playing a full game, and not really practicing as hard. So is it more of a Tom Thibodeau not wanting to practice, or is it the league adjusting to where now these players don't want to practice as much? So is Mike Brown really going to be able to come in here and have them practicing as hard as we need them to be practicing?
Yeah, because I think...
Or is it going to be...
The reason I would say yes is because even players, according to Ian Begley's reporting after the firing, were almost taken aback by how little real-time practicing they did. So even in the new standards of the NBA, it seemed like Tom Thibodeau was running less practices and arduous practices as other current teams. So, yeah, I would expect it to be very different.
I would hope so, right? But who knows? Like, I don't know. Is that really, again, a league thing or a coaching thing?
I think in this case, it's a coaching thing. Like, if we're comparing it to 30 years ago, sure, they're not practicing the way they did 30 years ago. But I think compared to everybody else in this NBA of 2025, the Knicks were doing a lot less. I think a lot of this really sounds like the front office wants to be involved.
Right.
And they weren't as involved with Tom Thibodeau. And that makes a lot of sense. Tom Thibodeau's an old school guy who's like, this is my team. I'm going to run it however the hell I want. Well, and when he gets his phone calls from World Wide West, he's like, okay, whatever. And then he doesn't follow
especially
it.
Especially if you have a staff of, I don't want to over, I don't know, emphasize the analytics, but I know that NBA teams and organizations have analytics staffs, and they talk about tendencies, they talk about rotations, they talk about, I don't know, how much play time or wear and tear is going on the players. And if Tom Thibodeau is completely ignoring that after the Knicks or whoever put resources into it, then you're not fully maximizing your potential, right? You're undercutting the process that has evolved in professional sports, which is to have analytics tell you when's most likely to have someone be successful or not.
Right.
And so if he's completely ignoring that, then, he almost deserves to be fired, because one of the biggest complaints about this Knicks team is that these guys are just always worn out.
Right.
They're always playing too many minutes. They're always put in positions where they can't fully be optimized, and that's on the head coach.
It is official. The Mets lose to the Milwaukee Brewers, the first game of a doubleheader. They've lost four in a row. The Phillies were losing, so at least they may not lose any ground in the National League East if that holds up. But this continues to be a major, 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 major. I'm going to pull a Mike Brown. I'm going to say major 26 times in a row. Major, 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 major crap show. The New York Mets are abysmal. They're playing non-competitive baseball. Their offense stinks. Their starting pitching doesn't go deep enough into games, and they find ways to lose on a daily basis. In this game against the Brewers, the makeup game from last night, The Mets had two hits. Two hits. Mm. They faced Freddie Peralta, one of the tougher customers in baseball, but then they faced the Milwaukee bullpen, and they faced the Milwaukee bullpen for three innings. And over three innings, the Brewer reliever shut them out where they didn't get a base runner. This is very, very common now in Metland. They not only don't score, they don't even threaten. Right. You know, for a while it was, hey, they got a lot of opportunities and they just don't hit with runners in scoring position. Well, believe it or not, the Mets batted 1,000 today with runners in scoring position. They were 1-for-1, but that's it. They didn't have other scoring opportunities. So this game, in a lot of ways, the opener of the doubleheader against the Brewers, a big game because the Brewers are a major factor if you're thinking about the wild card race, mm-hmm. and you damn well should, because the NL East doesn't feel like it's coming anytime soon with the way they're collapsing. So it's a big swing game in terms of tiebreakers with a team like Milwaukee that you're competing against. The Mets showed you every way they suck in this game. Like, every way. They're not getting on base. Their starting pitching doesn't go deep enough into games. They walk way too many people. They issued 7 walks in this game. During this stretch, they've walked more people than any other team in Major League Baseball. Their starting pitching doesn't go deep enough. They walk too many guys. And their bullpen, which at one point this season was reliable, is now incredibly unreliable. Not that long ago, Reed Garrett had a sub-1 ERA. It's now 3-3-1 because he came in today and he faced 4 people. They all got on base, bing, 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 and they all scored.
Right.
Bing, 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 before he finally got an out and was able to get through the inning, get 2 outs to get through the inning. Their defense in this game wasn't ideal. They are bad at everything. And so at some point, we have to accept it. At some point, we won't even be screaming and yelling. We'll just be comatose. But as we sit here on July 2nd, they stink.
Yeah, they really do. Luckily, the Phillies are currently losing to the Padres in the bottom of the ninth, but the Phillies are up to bat.
Yeah, and also not necessarily a win for the Mets. The Padres nipping on the Mets' heels in the wild card as well.
That's true.
No, I know. I was thinking about that last night, too. Like, their game got rained out, mm-hmm. and I'm like, all right, so the Phillies and the Padres are playing a doubleheader. And I started to have that losery thought of, well, maybe the Mets are better off with the Phillies winning because the Padres are one of the teams growing
right.
in the National League. I don't know how, and this is where I'll put Tommy on trial in a nice way because I do like him. This is where I don't know how you can be positive. So, Tommy, tell me why I shouldn't freak out. Tell the audience right now who are leaving Citi Field because they found a way to skip work on a Wednesday afternoon mm-hmm. to go to a makeup game. Mm-hmm. And they watch their team get their asses kicked and lose 7-2.
I think people are just off for the whole week.
You think that's what's going on?
I think it feels like.
Well, the ballpark was empty, so I would disagree. Because if that game was last night, it would have been 38,000 people.
Right.
And because they moved it to a Wednesday afternoon, they could announce whatever they wanted. The place was half empty.
Maybe they had a pool day. Or maybe they went to the beach.
Well, they didn't go to the game is the point.
That's what I mean.
That's fine. Yeah. 36,000 is what they announced. There were more like 12,000 people there.
Well, that's because that's the tickets from last night.
Well, that's my point.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Like,
all right.
Look, I'm not there. I was going last night. I was basically pulling up. I was at the Whitestone Bridge, ready to cross the bridge. All of a sudden, I hear they rained the game out. I swerved off, got off the exit, didn't pay the freaking toll, and went home. And like most humans, I have to work today. So I'm not a loser. I'm not at this game. Anyhow, Tommy, tell me why we should be positive.
Okay, first, like a parent, I'm going to give you the broccoli first, and I'm going to shove it right down your throat. I know you don't want it, but I'm shoving it down
your
throat.
Just shove it down my throat, bro.
It's early July. There is a ton of baseball left. We saw it last year. Oh, by the way, wasn't there a team that was the worst team in baseball last year in the month of June? Remind me of that team? Oh, it was the team that went to the World Series, the Yankees. So baseball teams have bad months. In fact, there are teams that have the worst month you could possibly imagine and still get to a World Series. Oh, didn't the Mets have 2 really, really horrible months last year where they were the worst team in baseball, basically? Didn't they make the NLCS? Yes, they did. So there's a lot of baseball left. That's the broccoli. The fun stuff is you're going to get Senga back. You're going to get Manaea back. Reinforcements are coming. And just like last year where the bullpen was their biggest bugaboo, I know you think everything sucks about the team right now.
Well, it does.
But I still point
right
to...
Right now it does.
But let's not say everything sucks. Let's just point out, because I think that's, you know, it takes the wins
out of people's sales. What doesn't suck about the Mets right now? Go ahead. Tell me what doesn't suck currently during
this
stretch.
Juan Soto doesn't suck. Well, he's been amazing.
How's he been doing with runners in scoring position?
Well, I'm glad you said that. Runners in scoring position is their biggest bugaboo.
Which is why he needs a leadoff, so even if he hits a home run, doesn't matter. He's doing the same thing.
Right, and Lindor 7th, and Nimmo 9th, and Alonso 4th, which is my lineup plan to spread everybody out. I think the law of average, if you keep getting, you know, up there with runners in scoring position, eventually the Mets are going to get the big hits. They are going to come.
I agreed with that until they stopped getting guys on base, which has been the problem over the last couple of days. Like, they had one at-bat with runners in scoring position today.
And they went, what? 1-for-1. That's a positive. That's improvement. And we're working towards the right direction. With runners in scoring position.
Yeah, I don't buy anything you said.
Why not?
I appreciate your attempt at being positive. Well, look, the clock part is right. The fact that it's early July is right. No one could argue with the fact that there's still a lot of games left. And no one could even argue with the fact that they did such a good job fattening up early this season that despite this recent struggle, they're still in a playoff spot. Right. And that's great. That's fantastic.
Right. Their second best record, or third best record in base in the National League, now tied with the Brewers. But they've been 3-14. Over the last 17 games.
Right.
3-14.
And non-competitive.
And you're still in the wild card.
Well, that's the positive because of how well they played for the first few months of the year. But like I said a few days ago about this, I'll say it again, eventually that's going to go away.
Yeah.
Eventually it's going to just...
Especially when you consider the two of those three wins were against the Braves, who somehow beat them 5 out of 7. But actually suck.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. They've dropped behind Miami, who's red hot.
Right.
I mean, the Marlins have won 8 in a row. The Marlins are ahead of the Braves in the standings. Yeah. Like, no one could argue with the fact that they have time. That is true. Mm. They have time. The problem is they're bad at everything. And they're probably going to lose tonight. And if they lose tonight, that's another 5-game losing streak, which followed a brief 2-game winning streak and a 3-game losing streak. And before that, a 7-game losing streak.
Right.
So that would add up to, let me do the math here. So that's 4 plus 3 is 7, 14. 14 of 17 they've lost. Is that the official number we're looking at?
That's pretty bad.
It is, and there's some numbers tied to historically how bad that is for the Mets organization.
Go ahead.
All right, so this is from Anthony DeComo. The 3-14 record since June 13th is the worst 17-game stretch since 2018. In the last 20 seasons, it's only gotten this bad on two prior occasions, that June 2018 stretch and July 2012. So this is tied for the worst 17-game stretch. It's happened 3 times in the last 20 years.
And by the way, those 2 seasons were not good seasons.
No.
Those aren't seasons where you could say, oh, but it ended here. It ended horribly. 2018, as I recall, was the Mickey Callaway rookie season where they started the year 11-1, and we all thought, whoa, this team's pretty good. And then they just completely tanked. Like in June that year, I think they were 6-20. Something like horrifically bad. And 2012 was another year similar to that where I think they got off to a good start. I think they were above 500 in July, and then it just completely tanked. So the past seasons that you're bringing up are bad years.
Yeah, and over the 17 games, 112-51, they've been outscored.
And by the way, that's the key one.
Wow.
And that's the point that you've made, Teak, without the math of the specifics. They are getting blown out now in all of these games.
So even if it is close... It's never a game late in the game. So it doesn't even matter when you get to the, you know, unless you have the top of your order coming up, which is not always guaranteed to be the case. They don't have shots in the back end of these games in the 8th or 9th innings. Just like this first game, even though they did have the meat of their lineup up, they went out weakly.
If you look at the beginning of this season, when they didn't lose often, when they lost, they would lose by a run or two.
Mm-hmm.
They very rarely got blown out early this season. Most of their losses would be 6-5 or 5-4 or 4-2 or something that was low scoring. It was actually uncanny. The way I looked at it was, wow. I mean, they just, every time they lose, it's a close game. It's a game you can almost rationalize that they can win. And now they get destroyed. They get absolutely destroyed. We'll hear from Met fans coming up, including those that are hanging out in the parking lot waiting for game 2, because it is a split admission doubleheader. And we'll weave in the Yankees as well, including what Jazz Chisholm said yesterday and how it really exploited a major issue that the New York Yankees have as an organization. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.